lights are on.
All right, we're back in open session.
Yes.
We are on item 8C, Health and Human Services. That's our card. Morning, see you hiding back there.
I know, good morning, I know.
Come up here where it's warmer, not standing there, yeah. Sarah Collard, Health and Human Services, and these guys are interesting.
Sarah Evans.
Tyler Mattson. Josh Dantrell.
And we are here today seeking approval for the 26 through 29 Behavioral Health Services Act Integrated Plan. And as you'll recall, we were here with the draft in March, and we are back today for final approval. Since then, we've had some back and forth with the Department of Healthcare Services and have made some changes at their request. The budget overall is the same, but they ask that we align more closely our budget with our programs and what's written in the narrative. And so with that,
okay.
I seek your approval. And we're here to answer any questions.
How much public participation did we have this year with this whole process?
So attached, we actually this year hired a consultant, Third Sector, and attached to the planning you see all of, there are, with the BHSA, there are required participants. I think there are 26 required, something around there. We were in communication with all of the required participants, plus others in the county. And in the Third Sector report, they report out on all of the community input that we
received. It's always a struggle to try to get people to step up. And I, you know, to me, it's not the people that are, you know, the executive director of this organization. It's the people, the users, the people that are involved with it. And I struggle to get those people engaged. And I think it doesn't help us that we don't have a local newspaper to promote these kind of things. So I think
for sure.
It's always going to be a struggle, but I appreciate all the effort that goes into it.
Yeah, we really lean into our partners, the resource centers. I know that Third Sector attended mm-hmm. some of their events and was able to connect with people in the community that way, but it is a challenge for sure.
Thank you.
So this is the one, it's just, correct me if I'm wrong, that shifts the mechanism for funding. Is that correct?
The funding is the same.
Okay.
We are not allowed to fund some of the same programs. So we have, over the last, you know, 20 years, established a network of providers that provide a lot of prevention services, which we are not allowed to provide under the BHSA. That funding shifted to public health. I think a lot of that funding is staying at the state level with the Department of Public Health. Some of it will come back down to the counties and to the local public health jurisdiction to administer some of those prevention programs. But for instance, we're not able to fund the resource centers this year for any prevention activities or other community partners. We are putting out an RFP. We are able to fund early intervention. And so there is an opportunity there for providers that are able to shift to providing those types of services. But the funding for the program remains the same. It's still the 1% tax on the millionaires.
Right, other than, like you just said, shifting from preventative programs.
Yes, and there's actually more. It used to be that the state took 5% and now they're taking 10%, and some of that is going towards workforce development and prevention of CDPH.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Anyone else?
I'm not having read the entire document, but having sat on the Behavioral Health Board for the last 6 years, being the chair of the COC board, and participating in a number of other things that you do, I have a little bit of background in all of the things that your department does, as well as public health, and deal with some of these issues that come up with housing and behavioral health and public health. And I appreciate all of the work that goes into trying to deal with this funding and how it's been changed, and the fact that you have built programs and now you have to figure out how to unbuild and redesign. And that can not only be frustrating and challenging to you, but also to the clients that you serve. So I think we need to really appreciate the job that you have and how hard that is to manage, not only the limited capacity that you have with your own in-house employees, but also the fact that you have a huge clientele that you have to serve and how to do that with all these constraints. So thank you for doing the job that you do and how well you do it, and how you manage to keep a smile on your face all the time. But that you do it so well, and you serve your people and your community so well. Sometimes we hear that behavioral health does nothing, and I know differently, because I sit on infinite meetings about housing and homelessness and behavioral health, and know that there are people being helped, and there are good stories. As well as bad, but there are still good stories, and there are a lot of people being helped out there, and you, in front of us, are the people that drive all that, and I really appreciate that. So, thank you for doing such a great job managing these things, and I heard yesterday that you've had a number of audits recently that came out stellar, and I really appreciate that, and I hope that you come back at some point and report out on that, because that's great news.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I'm looking for a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Ready. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsek?
So I'm going to oppose this, and not because of your department. My message is to the state of California. When they wipe out prevention and the great work that you've put over the years into this and just cut the carpet out from under you, I can't support that. So that's why I'm opposing it.
Okay.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Thank you.
Mr. OES. Item 8D.
Good morning. Brian Shinoni, Director of Emergency Services for Siskiyou County. For you is the renewal of a local emergency for illegal pesticides, and I would like to renew that one more time. We are writing a new one. We do have a bunch of new items being pushed forward. I think one of the most significant pieces for us is there is a new OES director, and we have a briefing at a national level through the National Targeting Center next week, or the 29th, I should say. Through my executive leadership program, we're able to make some great connections and really start to push this at a federal level, so we should start seeing some movement now. And so I would request one last renewal of the old PROC as we continue to rewrite the new one.
That's great. I appreciate all the hard work you put in for this, and keeping this alive for us. I do have two quick questions. Is there any movement at the governor's level in recognizing this travesty that we have in the county?
None today.
Yeah. Well, I thought maybe I was missing something, so I guess not. The other question I had was, in the revision that comes back next time, is there a way we can incorporate the sheriff's findings with these chemicals getting into legal dispensaries?
Absolutely, and that was really what we wanted to plan and what Sheriff was looking at, either combining or keeping separate, and that'll be the wishes of the board. But I feel like the illegal pesticide piece of the proclamation moving forward is definitely needs some of those.
I'm just looking for something to grab the rest of the state's attention.
Absolutely.
This isn't just a Siskiyou County issue.
Yeah, and that's we're adding those in right now through some help from our partners, and then also, like I said, at the federal level, we definitely have eyes and ears on this as well.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Do we have full engagement from our public health and our ag department on this?
Not full engagement.
I would like to see full engagement moving forward. I made a push for this, I don't know, it's been over a year ago with the public health side. Public health needs to get involved. And the ag department under pesticides needs to become fully involved. So we need to make sure that that happens as we move forward.
I would second that. I think 2 years ago, I asked for a public health declaration from our public health officials, and they refused to do so. Yep. I think that's a real shortcoming on the county's part.
We do have that written as well.
Okay. Move to extend.
Second.
Motion to second, Wendy.
That's to extend. Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 9A, Board of Supervisors, review of the next proclamation on illegal cannabis cultivation. Dr. Sheriff, or who is that? Must be the sheriff.
I can only speak on this. That's good. Good morning, Chair. Yes, this is, again, to just extend the proclamation for illegal cannabis. I can give you a little bit of details. There are some positive things in that things are better than they have been in the past. There's a lot of folks that are not returning to illegally cultivate, a lot of abandoned locations. Our team is very active. Last year, we were at 332,000 plants, 54,000 pounds of processed, which 118 arrests. There were 96 complaints filed with the district attorney's office, different cases for prosecution requests. And if this matters to people, I know it's very convoluted with dollar amounts, but if you look at black market value for what we're eradicating, it's still in the single digits of what I would estimate is out there, but you're looking anywhere between 50 million and 200 million of what we see is last year. If it is retail value, which goes into the legal market, then it's more of 330 million to over $1 billion. The primary concern is the public health issue that I've raised many times with the illegal pesticides being on the product, getting in the dispensaries. They bypass the labs, they're not being checked because the chemicals aren't part of the regimen that they check for. So that's the biggest risk to anyone that consumes this. The state's been on notice, they claim that they're working on that. I don't have the utmost confidence that they are, but we continue to engage in that. And then we also have some new relationships that we form with Homeland Security, FBI, DEA, and other federal partners that seem very much interested in assisting us.
So I know this state is reluctant to help us. Are there other states that are trying to engage or no?
Yes, so this is now moved from California to Oklahoma. I was there last year for a conference and they presented the same, I mean, it looked the same as we have here. And they're more aggressive about it in Oklahoma, and Maine is also a place that they've done more state action. I mean, as you brought up, and it's very clear, I mean, we're appealing to anyone that'll help us, but the state of California is the one that should be responsible for handling this, especially since they have, it was their bright idea to form this, or at least with Prop 64. So they're tasked with that. Their state agencies in Oklahoma and Maine are doing better than we are.
Any indication from those governors' offices to communicate or put pressure on ours?
I don't know.
It is affecting them.
It is. I'll check on that. That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Just to follow up, has there been any type of presentation between the Western Governors Association?
Not to my knowledge.
We might follow that up and see if there's something that could be presented to them.
Okay.
No further further questions, I'll make the motion.
Second.
And that's to extend?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. All right, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Help?
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
I recess the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors and convene the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. This time is for public comment, item 10A. I'm seeing none in the house. Any online?
Showing none online.
None online. Minute approval, item B.
No changes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Ready. Director Valenzuela?
Yes.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
Director Kopsev?
Aype.
Director Harris?
Aye.
And Director Help?
Aye. I'll adjourn the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and convene the Siskiyou Power Authority. Public comment. See none in the house. Any online?
Showing none online.
Item B, consent agenda.
Move to approve.
I'll second, but I need just a question answered on it as well. So what type of work is being done here, and is the award for someone that has that experience?
Yeah, Adam Filipponi, Director of Siskiyou Power Authority. So this is Fox Canyon Dam backup generator and stairs project. So basically, with the stairs going down to the tram area, they're very unsafe right now, especially in
right.
bad weather.
Right.
And so those are being torn out and replaced to kind of meet standards, safety standards for the state and the county. And then the generator project, right now we have a very old Kohler generator down in the dam. And if the power goes out in the wintertime, especially, the tram is not being able to be used or anything like that. And so the operators are having to use the stairs and ladders on the north side of the dam. And when it snows, it's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, the water pump went out in the generator, and we had to get one off eBay because nobody makes it anymore. And so we're doing this generator project to now be able to power the tram, so no longer will they have to use the scary side of the dam to get up and down, and then it will also keep our links running with our operators, it'll keep our exciters going, and the dam can continue to operate, and it will be set up basically in a secure location with a transfer switch to where if somebody isn't there and the power goes down, the generator kicks on automatically and keeps things going at the dam.
And the contractor's done this type of work before?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Alright, and then next item is the, do I need to approve this?
We had the Valenzuela and Kopsev for approval of consent.
Okay.
Okay. Alrighty. go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to just do a roll call.
Go ahead. Okay.
Director Valenzuela?
Yes.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
Director Kopsev?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
And Director Help?
Aye. We're stepping on each other. Item C, the presentation on the current project.
Good morning, Adam Filipponi, Director of SPA. I just want to give you guys an update of where we're at with the Fox Canyon Dam after our FERC Part 12D inspection, our California DSOD assessment, go over some future capital projects with you guys, and then what our revenue generation has looked like for the past 4 years. Next slide. So FERC project number 2796-CA is our federal number for the dam. DSDOD dam number 1056 with the state, operated by Siskiyou Power Authority. Renewable energy asset for Siskiyou County, and we completed our ninth Part 12D comprehensive assessment on March 18th, 2025. Next slide. So what is a Part 12D inspection? I'll just go over real quick. It's an independent dam safety assessment required by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. The regular study happens every 5 years. The comprehensive study happens every 10 years. Both studies were done at the same time in 2025, and that's why it took almost 2 years to get done. The previous staff before I got here spent hours, if not weeks, uploading old documents and getting data for FERC. They are very, very
stringent on what they want to see. It reviews structural, geotechnical, hydraulic, and operational safety, and it includes risk analysis and potential failure modes. Next slide. A DSOD inspection, it's an official safety evaluation conducted by the California Department of Water Resources Division of Safety of Dams, conducted every year. It's an official safety evaluation conducted by California Department of Water Resources Division of Dam Safety. I've done there twice, I'm sorry. Next slide. DSOD 2026 inspection results. I'd like to start with the good news. The inspection report dated May 21st, 2026, and initial June 6, 2026. And quoting from our inspection, from the known information and visual inspection, the dam reservoir and all aptrices are judged safe for continued use, meaning we passed our DSOD inspection with flying colors. FERC Part 12D inspection. Fox Canyon Dam is safe for continued operation. No immediate dam safety concerns were identified. The Part 12D assessment recommends several engineering studies over the next 2 to 5 years, and that's very standard for these inspections. They're never just going to leave and give you a gold ribbon and say you're good. So, reduce uncertainty regarding seismic performance, seepage conditions, and long-term embankment behavior, but no emergency actions or operational restrictions or major repairs are required. Next slide. Left embankment remains primary focus area, and that's just because of the lack of historical data, and that's what a lot of these studies, after they do these inspections, we build all this data together, and then if there's holes in the data, that's where they want us to focus, basically. Existing monitoring is generally performing well. Additional geotechnical information recommended. Additional seismometric monitoring recommended. That's because we have a dam next to a volcano. Concrete deterioration monitoring expanded. Log boom needed additional clamps, additional leak barrier of battery backup system, and needed vegetation control, which is every year. Accumulated sediment cleanup at reverse drain. Next slide.
I have a question. Can we go back to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the additional information that they're asking for, what would that entail for both of those, geotechnical and...
Basically, again, it's just where they want more data. So we have seismometric, are they gauges, Emily? I think so.
So, I mean, how much time or cost would that entail for something like that?
Most of it's not much, and we do use a consultant, HDR, okay. And a lot of the times they push back on a few things like this. So, like, we have crack monitoring there, for instance.
Sure.
And it's literally a little plastic gauge with a readout. And it gets glued to a crack, and every month we check it and see if the crack's getting bigger or not. And it's usually
so. Big. This isn't usually involved. Could it cost us $1 million type of thing?
No. There are some additional studies that will cost FOSS some money, but I'll get to those. But
okay.
There's nothing that is like, oh my goodness, like we're going to spend millions of bucks that I can see.
Thank you.
Am I right in that?
Yes, Emily Harper with FOSS. We are pushing back on something, the piezometer. They're wanting us to drill another hole, basically, and put a piezometer in, which is what measures the water levels. And we are pushing back because we feel like if you drill another hole, it'll be millions of dollars, and you're then creating instability in the rock. So we are saying no. but it would cost millions. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully we don't have to do it.
And we're very lucky we have a really good consultant that has a lot of experience with FERC, and she's leading the charge on this.
Okay.
So, okay. Next slide. Completed actions, battery backup system, container installed. We got that done fairly quick. Additional log boom plants are done. The DSSMP is updated. Crack and spall monitoring program implemented. It's a dam. It's made of concrete. It's going to have a little bit of spalling and cracking going on. We just have a monitoring program now for that. And a tree program, tree removal program formalized. We do every year have to remove vegetation around the dam. Next slide. Major Part 12D recommendations, additional geotechnical investigations. Again, these are just their recommendations. We haven't said we were going to do these yet. Additional seismometers in left embankment, site-specific PSHA seismic study, and then a bathymetric survey. bathymetric survey is kind of cool. It's kind of the picture you see to the left there. They actually go down and they scan our dam and take a look at the gates and make sure everything's functioning properly and there's not too much sediment buildup. Hydrology study and liquefaction and retaining wall evaluations. Next slide. So our timeline, 2026 to 2030, gap analysis, bathymetric survey, which we're already looking into, and a datum survey. I'm not sure what the datum survey is. 2027, the geotechnical review has on their decision, so we will have to come up with a plan by then, working with our consultant. 2027-28, seismic hazard analysis. And 2028, the PMP-PMF study, and that's the failure mode study, basically. 2029-30, retaining wall and liquefaction evaluations. Next slide. So as far as risk management, we completed a level 2 risk assessment. Credible risk drivers were identified and are being monitored. Again, there was nothing big and scary that said we had to shut down or change how we're doing things. Instrumentation indicates no progressive failure modes, and continued monitoring remains essential. And we did update and test our dam action emergency plan, and that's a big layout thing to where if something were to happen at the dam, who you call. I mean, it's all the way from the city of Dunsmuir to the railroad to, you know, the sheriff, and we actually implemented that, and we did a like a role play, basically. The dam operator called me, and then I started calling people. Jessica started calling people, and we all communicated, and it was just a test. And it went really well. And we did the whole thing in, like, under, like, 4 minutes, I think. So, and it was, like, a lot of phone calls. So it worked out pretty good. Next slide. Future capital projects from inspection recommendations. We are going to do some concrete crack and spall repairs, left embankment investigations. We're not sure if that's going to be drilling yet or not. Hopefully not. Potential instrument upgrades. We are going to look at upgrading an exciter. Log boom anchor improvements and ongoing vegetation control, which is every year. Next slide. So the next steps are to complete our 2026 studies, return to you guys with cost estimates, develop a multi-year capital improvement plan from the FERC findings, and maintain regulatory compliance and dam safety, which we're doing well now. Next slide. Any questions on any of the inspections before I move on? I'm trying to make this quick. Okay, so revenue generation last 4 fiscal years. We took a look at generation. Last year and the year before, we did really well. As you guys know, Pacific Power did take down our rates this year, so we're looking at trying to break $1 million at the dam this year, and we're confident we're going to do it with our operator. But that's where we're at right now.
So when we say the revenue,
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that when we see that revenue, is that enough to cover the cost of operating?
We believe so.
Okay.
We're still kind of diving into that.
Okay.
To be honest.
That was my question, these gross or net figures?
These are gross.
Okay. Gross.
Yeah.
So just to follow up.
This is just what we get from PP&L.
Yeah. So why in 23, 24, 24, 25? I mean, those are good numbers. What happened?
PP&L took our rates down 60% at the beginning of last year.
Well, they did it before that, but I'm trying to figure out why the revenue's so high in 23-24 and 24-25.
It became effective this year, though. It's for the next 3 years.
What are we down to? 4 cents?
5 cents.
They believe it's five? Like 5.2.
We were at around 15. Now we're down to 5.
Yeah, but I thought we lost that a few years back.
There's time after that it became effective, and it just became effective this year.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that was good for us. But
well, yeah, it is, but I thought we lost that like 3 years ago.
I believe one of my first presentations here when I started was telling you guys that we were going to lose 60%.
Yeah, we knew that was coming, but I just...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Next slide. So future capital projects, we already talked about the rail and stair replacement and the backup generator, and then we are also looking at updating ladder safety devices for the operators in there. The dam's very old, 1961, I believe, and it has kind of been deemed by different entities, CAL FIRE and a few others, that it's kind of unsafe. So we're going to get in there and update those safety features on the ladders and stairs and stuff. And that should be a small slice of the pie. So, next slide, please. Final thoughts from the director. FERC Park 12 inspection was a lengthy and comprehensive process. Significant effort was invested prior to my tenure to ensure historical records and engineering data and previous studies were completed and available for review. And we're now in the process of making sure that going forward, we're not just throwing papers in boxes like we did back in the day, and we're keeping that data better. So hopefully this inspection will be quicker and cheaper next time, is what we're hoping for. One of the key outcomes of this process was the identification of improvements that will help Box Canyon Hydroelectric Project operate more safely and efficiently and reliably while continuing to preserve the natural beauty and recreational value at Lake Siskiyou. Ed will like this part. While current reservoir management practices are not ideal for power generation perspective, because basically what PPL is paying this, the Siskiyou Power Authority has a directed powerhouse operator to maintain lake levels as high as practical during the recreational season. Although this approach may reduce power generation revenue, staff is confident that the economic benefits generated through recreation and tourism at Lake Siskiyou and other flood control district facilities help offset revenues. So, like I stated in there, I've asked the operator, we want to keep the lake levels as high as possible. It's not going to be a very good year for water. And we want to keep the lake as high as possible so people will continue to use our facilities out there.
And I just think it's a better offset with, you know, tourism that we get, campground that comes to mind, the resort area. You know, that's the offset. You know, we get it in another way.
And we're doing very well. Supervisor Valenzuela, Friday when they sent us the report, we are like 8 inches from the top of the spillway. So we're doing very well.
Great, thank you.
Any questions?
So for the 5.9 million that's come in over these four fiscal years, what's been the expenditures?
I don't have that in front of me right now. I could bring that back in.
Okay. Are we banking any money to carry us forward in what's going to be perceived as these under $1 million years?
Yes, we are banking money. I can tell you that. I can't tell you an exact number.
And do we still have the, I don't know what to call it, the emergency fund that we set way back 5-6 years ago for like $3.5 million in case something catastrophic happens?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah, capital improvement plan is, I think, is how we...
I don't know how we framed it, but it was for emergency.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I got a couple of questions. maybe this is a question of council. Are there clauses that allow renegotiation of the rates, given like the state's in almost in a free fall when it comes to energy production?
So those contracts are generally approved by the CPUC and FERC, and so they're kind of like form agreements, and you get to choose which way you want to get revenue. But it really isn't something where there's much negotiation possible.
So there's no like a escalation clause or anything?
And I don't have the agreement in front of me, but my recollection is no, they get set by the state.
It just seems to me that somebody's cutting a fat hog on our behalf.
Absolutely.
With this, because we got a, I don't want to say what we got when we went through the negotiation, but dropping all the way down to five cents is no way representative of the true cost of energy in this state.
Well, we were kind of that fat hog when I first got on the board. We were getting well above the market rate, so I think, I wish we were still getting that, of course. I think the power generate, what's going on in the bigger thing, what do they call those, server farms, whatever. Maybe. You know, maybe the rates get adjusted up. I'm hoping that's the case.
Well, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, but it's really out of our hands.
An opportunity.
Well, and don't forget that, you know, this board made the decision to take over the dam because we were contracting that and we were only receiving $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
And when we took it back over, that's when we started seeing the, you know, the bottom line change significantly.
Well, that, if you recall,
yeah,
we that first year or two, we were, I mean, we were like $3.5 million.
Yeah, I know.
And then the rate changed. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, we needed to own the distribution lines, but that was short-sightedness of my predecessor. The other question I have is, what is the life expectancy of the CM? Should this county face that at some point in time?
I haven't heard any numbers along that area, but through these inspections and through our consultant, they're saying that our dam is operationally great, it's structurally sound, the hydrology works great, and I have not heard any kind of expiration date on the dam.
Call me the skeptic. I heard that about the Iron Gate Dam until the day came out, too. Anyway, just had to ask the question. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And we'll adjourn the Siskiyou Power Authority and convene the Siskiyou County Service Area 4. This time for public comment. None in house.
Move to approve that there's no changes.
No changes to the minutes.
A motion, a second.
Who is the second? Thank you. Righty. Director Valenzuela.
Sure.
Director Okren.
Aye.
Director Cobbsett.
Aye.
Director Harris.
Aye.
And Director Hunt.
Aye.
Thank you.
I will adjourn the Siskiyou County Service Area 4 and reconvene as Siskiyou County Supervisors in item 13A, County Clerk Appointments to the Siskiyou County Assessment Appeals Board.
Yes. These are scheduled vacancies on our Siskiyou County Assessment Appeals Board. We have two terms that end September 3rd of 2029 and one term ending September 2 of 2030. Of course, the clerk's office, we did our normal posting as we usually do, and members of the Assessment Appeal Board do have certain criteria they need to meet to be eligible to serve. I did receive letters of interest in reappointment from both incumbents, John Quinn and Jim Peluso, and I also have another person interested. I'm just waiting to get final papers from that person as to their eligibility. And I would like to also bring back that third vacancy if we could appoint the two that are interested.
So you want to appoint the two?
Yes.
Move to approve.
Second.
And that's to appoint the two. Okay.
Motion and a second by Supervisor Harris.
What's that?
Yes.
Yeah. And then if we could then continue the third vacancy to later. Alrighty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Okren.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye. And 13B, District 3.
Yes, this is an unscheduled vacancy on the Siskiyou County Fish and Game Commission. This would be Supervisor District 3 Representative Alternate. And at this point, we've received no letters of interest. If we could continue that to a later date.
Okay. And 13C.
Last one I have.
Behavioral Health Services.
Okay. This was originally an appointment for four scheduled vacancies on the Behavioral Health Service Board. We've made three of those, so this is one last continued item. And it is for a Behavioral Health Services Board. And we've heard from and Behavioral Health Services Board recommends appointment of Marco Taylor for the one spot that is remaining.
Move to appoint.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Okren.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye. Item 14A, minute approval, May 19th.
And I've heard no corrections on those.
Move to approve.
Second.
Was that help for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All righty, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Okren.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye. And do you want to take a break?
I was thinking before we start public hearings.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break. 10 minutes. 15.
5.
5 is fine with me. Just need to get up and move.